This episode is sponsored by husbands who actually put the toilet seat down. They want you to know that they don't like doing it, but they're willing to put in the most minimal effort sometimes. Husbands who put the toilet seat down. Now all they have to do is work on their aim.
This is the Kimberly Bell Show.
Was it a betrayal for you?
My whole world gets turned upside down. It was like watching my own funeral. I know who the anonymous source was.
Thong. Yeah.
You can't eat that because it tastes like boogers. And I just bawled and prayed.
Have you been able to forgive? Happy New Year, everybody. And welcome to the Kim Gravel Show. I am your host, Kim Gravel. Happy New Year, Zach.
Happy New Year, Kim.
New year, right?
New
it's
year.
2024.
But we're back.
We're back. And it's 2024. And we're starting the new year off right. I'm telling you, you know, each year has just gotten better and better with our, you know, content, with our guest. And today is no exception. Way to start off the Kim Gravel Show in 2024, right? Should we just tell everybody who it is?
Yeah, definitely. Let's do it. Who do we have, Kim?
Julie Chen Moonves. You know, from Big Brother, from the talk. She's on the show today. She's going to talk to us about her spiritual awakening. Oh, and one more thing. Did you know that we put outtakes at the end of every episode? And let me just tell you, the outtakes sometimes are better than actual episodes. So if you want to see me suffer and mispronounce words, then don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to the end of the episode. But first, we have Julie Chen Moonves.
Julie Chen Moonves.
You created my own intro.
We give you a theme song.
I need that when I walk around, and maybe a wind machine and a light
and a diva ring light. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's a real privilege.
The privilege is mine, but I just want to tell you, Julie, let's just get into it because I'm a real talk type of person. You know, we're down here in Georgia, hot Atlanta, you know, the Hollywood of the South down here. And I have watched you, been a fan of you. I used to watch the talk got me through raising my two boys. Okay. Watching the talk, watching you on the talk. And, you know, Big Brother, I always thought, Zach, I always thought I would be a good Big Brother contestant, right? And you know what? You don't think I would?
Okay. I'm shaking my head. All right. No, I don't
probably
think
not.
You would.
Okay.
Or Real Housewife of Atlanta.
That's
That's way too much shade for me to throw tonight while we're talking to you about your book. But Julie, I was so amazed. First of all, I wasn't shocked that you were writing a book about your faith. What I was shocked about was when you say you found the Lord at 48 years old. I'm shocked. Can you tell us how that happened? Like what was your spiritual, you know, journey or your faith journey?
Yes. So I grew up in Queens, New York, and I'm the youngest of three girls. And my parents are Chinese immigrants. And yeah, my dad wore a cross. He actually came to America thanks to this monk who sponsored him, this church sponsored him. And one of his brothers. And my mom, she wore a crucifix around her neck, and she decided at age 17, she wanted to be a Catholic, even though her mother was Buddhist. So my parents didn't try and choose our faith for us. My mom wanted, since my mom chose at age 17, you know, what path she wanted to go down, she wanted each of her daughters to do the same. So, you know, did I pray growing up? Yes. It was because I saw it on Little House on the Prairie. Let's be honest.
I love it.
You know? And so, and I always had the same prayers, and it was by rote. You know, it was like, oh, I prayed for, you know, grandma, grandpa, my parents, me, my sisters, you know, please let us be healthy, wealthy, and wise. It was the same thing every night. And then I went to a Catholic high school, but that was more out of that wasn't a faith decision. That was because I didn't get into the Bronx High School of Science, which is where my two older sisters went. And my mother said, you know, instead of having you go to the public school you're zoned to, a lot of your friends have gone to St. Francis Prep. Let's apply. But even then, like, I wasn't listening to the Lord. I wasn't trying to get to know Jesus. I wasn't, you know, I was being a teenager. My work and my career, that was my false idol that I prayed to. That came number one. above everything. Even after I had a son, you know, like raising my child, I would outsource raising him just so I could be at the studio at work. But then I turned 48 and my whole world gets turned upside down. For me personally, I had been at the Talk for 8 years and I'm on the eve of launching the 9th season of it. And I unexpectedly lose my job there. But, you know, to save face, it's always they allow the person who's leaving to say it's their choice. So
sure.
I lied and I said that I was leaving to spend more time at home. And I was still doing Big Brother, but Big Brother was getting ready to wrap up, as it always does, typically in September. And my whole life as I knew it just got turned upside down. The Talk was a big part of how that was my identity, because I was on daily, you know,
right.
And I had been on some sort of daily broadcast. Prior to that, it was the morning news at CBS. And there were a lot of reports about me and my family that were just simply, you know, not true, lies. And when you're wounded, people who have any reason to want to attack you can say anything and it can go to print. And there was like a ridiculous story about me at the Talk, like standing on a chair in a big meeting and telling everyone, you make me want to vomit. It was, no one even corroborated the story. And then one anonymous source, who I know who the anonymous source was, went to a reporter. So there was a lot of, you know, I had never suffered that kind of press or scrutiny or judgment.
But Julie, let me ask you something. Have you ever suffered that kind of betrayal? Because the Talk, the image that was portrayed to us, like I said, I raised my kids watching you guys, you know, daily on the Talk, and you all seem so close and such good friends and such is it a dog eat dog world out there? And was it a betrayal for you?
It was a betrayal. But I should have been, I shouldn't have been so naive, because season one of The Talk, I went on vacation. And when I came back from vacation, I found out that the other four ladies were saying how much nicer it was with me gone, because they thought that I wasn't one of the girls, that I was always trying to produce them and produce the show. And
they
kind of ran the place. They didn't have me saying, you know, no, you can't say that because we'll get sued. And I was the only one from a news back. And I remember.
Right. Which is truth. Yeah. You can't say, there's things you can't say. Yeah.
I was like, you could say, in my opinion, she's guilty of murdering her daughter, but you can't say, you know, she did it. Like, we'll get sued. You can't.
Allegedly.
So, right.
Yeah. Allegedly, or I believe, in my opinion, I don't believe that she's innocent, you know, something. So season one, there was a movement underway to like get rid of me. All four of my co-hosts talked about it. Two of them actually took it a step further and went to the network and said, her or us. If she stays, we go. And we were all only under a 1-year contract because we didn't even know if the show was going to be a success. So when they posed that question, those two didn't get their contracts picked up for season two. So we, you know, hired two other people to take those slots. And then everything was going great. So when you saw us, like even season one, up until that point, like, and these two women who left the show, like I went on vacation with them, like with their husbands, we did like Vegas weekends. So that camaraderie was real. But there was a lot more going on behind the scenes. So that's why it felt like a betrayal, because season
Absolutely.
Nine, as we're about to launch it, my husband had left the network, so he wasn't running CBS anymore. So that's when two of the four co-hosts went and said, we don't want Julie to be part of the season premiere. Because on the season premiere, they were going to talk about my husband's exit from CBS. And they said, we don't feel comfortable talking in front of Julie. So the head of CBS Daytime said, please stay home. You know, she said, I know them. If you show up, they'll call in sick and I can't have that. So please just stay home. So I stayed home and I turned on the show that day. When I watched it, it was like watching my own funeral.
And yes,
two of the four people just totally buried me. And they made it, by what they said, they made it impossible for me to ever pull up my chair to that table again. So that afternoon, I had a long heart-to-heart talk with the head of CBS Daytime. She cried, I cried, and I said, you know, the only way this show is going to be able to go forward is without me there. And then we figured out how I was going to announce it, and very few people knew. And I recorded my departure message from the set of Big Brother. And I came in early that morning to record it before the talk went live. And then they ran the recording through the control room of the talk and it went out live on the air. And I was very hurt, angry, frustrated, bitter, like every negative emotion. I was angry. And suddenly I had a lot of time on my hands and I kept thinking like, I'm going to go pray to God for answers and for justice and, you know, just for guidance and direct. But, you know, it really was very self-serving, my intentions in the beginning.
Sure.
Like, God, you see what happened? Like, help me, you know?
And I love it, though. I love it, though. That's how he woos us. You know, sometimes he works all things together for the good of those, you know? And so he can use, that's so God's economy. I love it. And I love it. You're going, get him, God.
I was so foolish. I was so foolish in knowing who God is that I was like, you'll get my revenge for me, right? Like,
right. You got him, right? Yeah. Right. Take him out.
So vengeful, you know, and I was coming from a place of
I get it.
Hate. So even though I thought about going to church, I just didn't. And then one morning, right after Thanksgiving, of 2018, I got an email from my favorite aunt. And she.
I love this part of the book.
Thank you. She and my uncle, her husband, they became born again Christians in the 90s after my uncle survived cancer. And then he's also a 9/11 survivor. He was in the North Tower when it got hit. She emails me and she says, my good friend from our church in New Jersey, Angela, is a prayer warrior, and she's been praying for you and your husband, your whole family. And she called me and she said that Holy Spirit moved her and touched her and told her that you need to hear about Jesus from me. You need to be, you know, told the gospel. And my aunt said, you know, you've noticed I've never been pushy about my faith. We come from a very big family. And that's all true. But that, seeing the email from my aunt and a woman who I've never even met, like praying for me and being touched and caring that much to like call my aunt, she doesn't know me, everything. I said, you know what? I'm going to go to church this morning. And it was a Thursday morning and I dropped off my son at school and I just drove to one of these three churches right by my house that I had driven past a million times. Now, I don't know how common it is that on a Thursday morning at like 8:20, 8:30, whatever it was, that the doors would be open, but the doors were open and I walked in and I was by myself. And there were a few candles burning and I got into a pew and I got on my knees and I just bawled and prayed and let it all out. And I asked God, you know, why over and over again, and help me, please help me, pick me up and put me on a path. Like nothing made sense. And then when it started, but I was still like a newborn. I was like a baby that needed to be swaddled and carried. Like I still didn't know so much. I didn't know what I didn't know. So I went to church services that Sunday at that church. The sermon didn't resonate with me. I couldn't understand it. It may have been in Latin. It may as well have been. It might have been. I didn't understand anything. But I thought, okay, there's two other churches on this same street. They're all lined up. And I went church shopping and I ended up finding my church home. You know, the last one, it was like Goldilocks. You know, this one is just right.
Yeah.
And now I'm yoked with like at least 5, maybe 6 churches, you know, thanks to Zoom services. I can Zoom on to my friend's church.
So you're just consuming. You're just in it. And would you call it the honeymoon phase? Or are you just like, you're sold out. You're sold out. You know what I'm saying? For him.
Sold out for Christ. I'm on fire
me too.
For him. The honeymoon phase was when I was like collecting.
Yes. Isn't it great? It's such a great feeling. Yeah.
It still feels like my first year of marriage. You know, it still feels fresh and new.
I can kind of remember that.
So I'm still there and I just love it. And, you know, I'm 53 now, so I am more mature in Christ, but I also know that I'm never going to stop growing and I'm never going to stop learning. And even the day I, you know, leave and I go home, I'm going to be, you know, like head over heels, just like blown over with, you know, awe and like, who knew?
In awe. It's a good word. Mm-hmm. Awe is a good word. I would think, because I've never lived in the Hollywood culture. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are in the business and it's such a great business in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, it can be a little scary and a little, like you said, cutthroat, which you've experienced, a little cutthroat and a little dark. But I know there are believers out in that field as well. Do you regret, like, tell us about your experience in the celebrity culture? Because you said earlier that you kind of idolized your position or that was what you were, you know, looking to for your identity. And can I just tell you, Julie, there's so many people doing the same thing with social media and posts and likes. I think we all experience it now.
Yeah, I think COVID really had a lot of people have their come to Jesus moment, right? It really, God put the world on pause, the entire world, and you had time to reflect and see, like, how am I living? You know, like, what am I so busy with that I don't have time for God? It wasn't even like he was last on the list. He wasn't even on the list. He wasn't even a thought.
Right.
You know, and in Hollywood, I do think that COVID helped people, you know, come out of the woodwork a little bit, because it would be something that, right or wrong, Hollywood never felt very welcoming to faith, you know, because look what typically sells, like horror. You know,
sex,
drugs, you know, darkness, right?
Right.
So, but then you'll see some of these like amazing faith-based films, like I Love Jesus Revolution. And that's,
yes, me too, girl.
So good, you know, and or even like a series like The Chosen. That was crowdfunded.
Oh, I love that.
And it keeps getting picked up, like Netflix, CW. It's like, if, you know, it's God's will. God will guide if it's meant to be.
What you experienced with your girls at the talk, I'm a girl's girl at heart. And so I know how that had to feel like, are you kidding me? We've done life together and this is what's happening. Have you been able to forgive? And have you done it? Have you told them? Have you talked to them and told them, I love you, I forgive you? Have you shared this faith-based message with them? Have you shared your journey?
I didn't say the words, I forgive you, because sometimes I feel like people are like, well, what did I do? Like they get defensive.
I got it.
I don't know if they think they did anything wrong, but my olive branch was texting one of them. I saw a picture of this person's daughter who looked great and healthy. And I reached out and I was like, hey, you know, so-and-so looks beautiful, so healthy. That's fantastic. How are you? Like, and it came from a genuine space of love, because I did love these women. I did have amazing times laughing with them. Like, we've went through a lot together, you know, births, near divorces, you know, like cheating scandals, all that. So I chose to remember the good, and like, maybe it was a power play. I don't know, you know, the purpose. I don't know what was behind that move. And it's not for me to know. It happened, but it was also a blessing in disguise because
it was.
Once that happened, I found God. I got salvation. I got the greatest gift ever. So, you know, I texted one of them because I don't really run into her. And the other one I would tend to run into because of our kids being, you know, near the same age and we went to the same school and the same piano teacher. So
wow.
I would see her and it was always, you know, with, in the beginning it was like a hi, like just kind of polite, but not with love and no warmth. And then afterwards, you know, I had an opportunity to show like laughter and humor, like as if nothing had happened. I had to forgive in my heart because I wasn't hurting anyone but myself, harboring, right. You know, like hate or anger or any negative feelings towards them. They weren't thinking about me, you know, and
you know what, that's why your book, I mean, but first, God, it's like when you put him first, when you put that relationship, which is the most important relationship we can ever have. It's funny how you see people through his eyes.
He loves
you
them.
Love people. Yeah.
He loves them.
He loves them.
He loves them. All of them.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was so naive. I'm like, but you don't know what I know, God, you know, what I feel.
But did you see this? Did you see this?
Yes. Yeah. Right. So, that was a lesson I remember hearing at one of my church services at my home church here, which was the pastor said, yeah, that person you can't stand. God loves that person. God loves
them. Loves them.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you overworked, underpaid, exhausted, but love your kids so much and want to be the best mama for them?
How about the best version of you? You deserve that.
I'm Gianna DiMedio Simon.
And I'm Casey McDonald Hosmer, and we are moms who absolutely love our new roles in life.
But man, were we not prepared for some of the fine print in the job description.
We want a connection with our children and our partner that doesn't come at the cost of the relationships with our own selves.
We're helping you mother up every Monday on your favorite podcast player. Also, check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/@motheruppod.
So let me say this, though. Like, to me, Julie, I think you're just getting started because, I mean, I'm getting emotional talking about it, but you know, God wastes nothing. You know that. And I know that as believers, we know he's always working all things together for the good of those who love him. And you've got this show on Instagram. Tell us about that a little bit and where people can find that. Because, yeah, Julie, you got a lot to talk about, girl.
I do.
A lot to share with all of us.
So on my Instagram account, which is Julie Chen Moonves, I post every Sunday morning a 15-minute or less panel talk show. You know, for example, we are going to this Sunday. The episode is about like the greatest gift ever. Like Christmas isn't about, you know, tangible presents because we already got the greatest gift ever. We got salvation.
Yes, we do.
So God 101 really started as like, I thought, well, what do I know how to do? I know how to lead a panel talk show, but I want to only do things in the faith space. An episode on the sin of pride. Like I didn't know pride was a sin until I started my walk with Jesus, you know, and that's got Lucifer kicked out of heaven, you know, and pride.
That's why he's no longer welcome, right?
No. And I just love that. Like he was supposed to be this beautiful angel and now he's like disgusting, right? know, yes. He's like,
and he's seeking. He's seeking. And Julie, don't you think? I mean, I could talk to you all night, honest to God. So, I mean, just shut me up. But he's seeking whom he may devour. He's. Can you see it? Like now that you, the blinders have been taken off, Julie. Really, just me and you, girl, right here. Can't you just see him moving in people? It's almost like you can't not. You can't hate someone or even be angry at someone because it's really not them. He is in everything and doing everything. Do you see it?
I see it. I see it in music. I mean,
he was
a worship director, right? You know,
he
was.
Yes.
So it is so easy. And like, I will pray often. I haven't done it in a few days, but I will pray often because my son is 14 that.
Yeah.
He,
mine too.
Oh my gosh. The music and the lyrics that he listens to. And like, when you listen to a song, that song will latch onto your soul. It doesn't need
and
to ask.
Your spirit.
It's just in there, right? And you wake up.
It's an invitation.
Yeah. So, I do see him lurking, waiting just to devour, you know, and
now, Julie, I want to ask you this too. I'm sorry to interrupt. Now, and you don't have to go into this if you don't want to. Is your husband and your son, have they A, see a change in you, and B, are they curious, interested, or involved in their own journey with faith? I'm curious.
Oh yeah. Whether they will acknowledge it or not, we all are on our own faith journey, right? Whether we realize it or not. But my husband started going to church with me, and it started because I said to my son, when I started to go to church, I said, you need to start coming with me. And suddenly my son, my husband is Jewish, right? But he's Jewish culturally. He's not religious at all. So suddenly my son at that point says, well, I'm Jewish. I'm Jewish.
Right. The Jewish people are God's chosen people. I truly believe that. So yes.
I'm Jewish too. So
yeah, Zach is Jewish too. They're God's chosen people. But anyway, go ahead. I digress. Go ahead, Julie.
Yes. And our whole like Christianity is steeped in, I mean, Jesus
was a Jew. Yeah.
Yeah. The most important Jew ever born. So I'm like, why can't you acknowledge him as God? And my husband was like,
right.
I just wasn't taught that. I said, well, that's a reasonable answer. You don't believe it because you weren't taught it. I said, but is it possible? Right. He goes, yes.
Yes.
Right?
They're open. Oh, Julie. Oh.
So my son. So I said to my husband, I said, listen, Charlie won't come with me to church because he says he's Jewish. You know, you gotta come. So he'll come. And sure enough, that's next Sunday morning.
That's fantastic.
My husband put on his shoes and goes, come on, Charlie, we're all going to church. And when I tell you, we walked into church and we open up our hymn books, my husband is singing louder than anyone and doesn't have to look at the words. And I look at him, I said, how do you know?
How do you know these hymns?
And he goes, oh, this is a Thanksgiving song. He goes, we sang this in school growing up.
Right.
And I said, I don't even know this song.
Yeah, a lot of crossover there. A lot of crossover.
Then that day, the sermon, the pastor preached on his friend who was accused of something that he was not guilty of.
Oh.
And he preached on betrayal. And I was like, and I just saw my husband's heart open up. Mm. And he was, you know, when he's shushing Charlie so he can hear the sermon, I'm like, thank you.
God is up to something. Yes.
Always.
And Julie, I'm going to tell you, God is up to something still with you. I'm getting emotional talking about it just because you give me hope, girl, that in that world of Hollywood, that there are people out there sharing the gospel and loving people into a faith that is everlasting, right? Like you and I are going to be friends forever, girl.
Forever and in eternity.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Like we're sisters.
We are sisters.
We're sisters.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I have seen hearts soften in Hollywood.
Me too.
Because I will start a meeting in prayer and people are like, oh, I've never done that before, you know? And then afterwards, they're like, that was really nice. And then I'll end a meeting in prayer. And then people who didn't want to speak at the beginning say, I'll say something, you know? And they go, that was so nice. Like, I wish I could start every meeting this way, you know?
Couldn't hurt. Yeah.
No way. Can only help. So
all right, y'all, you've got to go get Julie's book. Got to download it on audio. But first, God, this is just, I mean, we could talk about so much more here. We could do part 2, 3, and 4, but it's in the book. It is going to move you. If you are even just curious about, right, Julie, even the people who are just even curious about what this God thing's all about, your audiobook is the perfect first step.
Thank you.
It really is.
Thank you. He's a God of miracles. I mean,
amen.
He gave me back my hearing. I talk about that too.
That's in the book. Yeah. Y'all got to get it. I know. Well, and this is what I always say. Some people say to me all the time, because they say, Kim, well, I don't believe in God. I'm like, that's okay, because he believes in you.
Right. Right.
He believes in you. Julie, I'm telling you, please come back. Can you come back and tell us more?
Can you come on one-on-one on God 101?
Oh, girl, look.
Who Jesus
I missed
is
my calling. I should have been a preacher. Please have me on. I would love it. I've been walking with the Lord since I was 7 years old, up and down, all around. And Julie, I'm just telling you, he's just good. He's just good.
Always, always, always has our back. Yes.
Always. Oh my gosh, I feel like I've got a new best friend. Okay, listen, before we go, we end with a fun thing called rapid fire questions. And I said to Zach, we've got to do this with Julie. The woman knows how to do live TV. She's quick-witted. She's brilliant. We're doing this. So just the first thing that pops into your mind, Julie, answer. Don't think about it. Just go for it. Okay, here we go.
Rapid fire questions.
First question. Who would you love to sit next to on a long flight?
Well, Jesus.
Okay, girl.
Yeah. There you go.
In first class. Thank you. Okay, here we go. And what is your favorite TV show of all time? Like, it could be childhood, now, whatever. Favorite TV show.
Well, it's probably a tie between, this is before I knew Christ, okay?
Yeah.
Melrose Place.
Ooh, I love,
Melrose Place. Okay.
Heather Locklear, remember? Oh my God. Melrose Place.
Okay. When they canceled it, I wanted to throw my television out the window.
Me too.
Okay, Ted Lasso. I'm going to go with Ted Lasso. That's my favorite.
Ted Lasso's fantastic. Lasso's fantastic. And I Melrose, though, you got me there. Okay. What is one piece of advice you wish you could give your younger self?
Oh. Probably not to go out on a date with someone I went out on a date with in college and became obsessed with. And was just, I was probably good because like I learned what it was like to date a scoundrel, you know?
The bad boy. You had the bad boy syndrome.
Scoundrel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just no.
You had the bad boy syndrome. All of us strong, you know, career driven girls have always gone a little bad boy every now and then. So I can't judge you for that.
You want the opposite of what you are. You're like, ooh, that's so intriguing.
It's so intriguing. Yeah, until you have to date them. Okay. What is one thing that would surprise us to know about you that no one knows? Okay, spill some tea, Julie.
I am a very good mimic. And I...
Really?
Really? I don't really do that anymore because it's not glorifying God, right? But I think I could do...
What could be comedy?
Julie, can you do a Southern accent? Like, right, in honor of Kim.
You can mimic me. I see it as an honor.
Mm-hmm. But you don't really have, I don't know if I can do a Southern drawl. I can't do accents. I typically reckon I don't do accents. So I don't know.
That was good. That was really good.
I don't even know if that makes sense.
Why did she sound smarter at me being more in Southern? Whatever. We'll have to let the people decide that. All right. What is the worst gift you've ever been given?
I'm sure this isn't the worst, but I remember, but it was well-intentioned. I got a keychain from my college boyfriend.
Oh.
It's actually so cute. It was a keychain that said, "Born to Shop." And it was so cheesy. And I thought.
So cheesy.
It was very cheesy, but the intention was, and I'm like, I thought, who do you think you're dating? Like,
I think that he bought that at the 7-Eleven on the way to your place.
I think so. That was just like cheesy, but we were, you know,
yeah,
18, 19.
That was wah wah. That's right. I love it. All right. What's your guilty pleasure food? What's your favorite junk food?
Oh my gosh. Anything fried.
Yeah,
anything fried. Fried calamari, you know, French fries. I could order like a healthy meal, then I'm like, a side of fries, please.
Yeah, and honey mustard to dip it in, or some kind of dip. Absolutely.
Mayonnaise, dip it in mayonnaise. And
that's right, European.
Meatballs. Yes, it is.
Like, do you do like any fast food, like Mickey D's, BK, Crystal? Do you go that low?
My son has recently discovered Mickey D's, because when he was growing up, I used to tell him that, you know, you can't eat that because it tastes like boogers, you know? I can't tell him it's delicious. Can't tell him it's delicious. So he will come home with like a Big Mac, and I'm like, but I'm a fish fillet girl.
I love the fish fillet.
The fish fillet.
Julie. This was my
thing growing up. The fish fillet. Small fries and that orange drink, that chemically orange drink.
Just flat out chemical. I don't think they sell it anymore. I don't think they even make it anymore. Yeah. So, that was my go-to fish fillet, girl. Okay.
The Western Star, I ate that every day, every like Wednesday in college, right after a certain journalism class, because they had one on campus. That was the one with the onion rings in it. Delicious.
Oh, girl. I mean, yeah, you've got taste. You've got taste. You've got good taste. All right, who's your celebrity crush? And I'm sure it's like, really, you could really give us your celebrity crush could be just absolutely real because you're right there in Hollywood. Who's your celebrity crush?
My producer one time said that before I was married. She's like, who's your celebrity crush? Because it could happen. I said, and I said, do you know Lenny Kravitz?
Ooh. That's a good one.
I just saw him on a commercial for like some cologne, and I was with my mom. I'm like,
he's hot.
He was my big celebrity crush. And then we met him at a party, and someone said, oh, let me get a picture of you guys, meaning my husband with Lenny Kravitz. And my husband goes, gladly, and like squeezes me out. Like I wasn't really kind of in that conversation. And you just see like my eyebrow behind their shoulders, like trying to get in.
Yeah, photobomb. Like you're trying to photobomb. Yeah, Lenny Kravitz is a good one. He's hot. Mm-hmm. He's hot. Yeah. Okay, couple more.
Yeah.
You're coming up good. The whole fish fillet just had me at hello. What is your most memorable TV moment, and what is your most embarrassing TV moment?
My most memorable TV moment was when I lost my composure. I was moderating the talk, and we had to deliver the verdict of the DC Anthony trial.
Yes, and I remember that.
Was dumbfounded that it was not guilty. And I felt like the blood drained from my face, and I couldn't finish talking. I had to push the copy to my co-host and have her finish speaking for me, because I physically couldn't speak, because if I opened my mouth, it was just going to be sobbing. That was probably my most memorable TV moment. And what was the other one? My best TV moment?
Yeah. Your most embarrassing.
Oh, most embarrassing. I don't think we were rolling tape, because we were doing a concert when I did the morning news, and it was with Cisco, who sang that thong song. And I went
thong,
on stage,
thong, 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 yeah. Thong, thong, thong.
And it was drizzling, and I slipped and like legs went like scissors, and like boom, like right on my bum. That was probably my most embarrassing.
That's good. Just like a quick producer aside, as a professional producer, like we say we're not rolling, we're always rolling.
Sorry, it's Julie, out there somewhere.
I want to see it,
Julie. It's out there. It's out there somewhere.
I want it.
It's going to surface.
And he couldn't stop laughing. He was helping. He was dying.
Well, he's adorable. He's adorable. Okay, so what's next for you? This is our last question. What is next for Julie?
What is next for Julie? Well, God willing, you know, Well, there is another season of Big Brother during the summer. Continuing with, you know, my God 101 show, maybe hopefully selling it. And
I think so.
You know, selling that show so we can reach, you know, a wider audience. I don't even know if it's a wider audience on broadcast anymore, right? Because everyone has social media for that to reach more people. And I don't know, you know, I have thought about going to seminary school. Who knows?
Oh, Julie.
Or at least like speaking at some of the colleges, at least, you know, speaking about my faith journey, you know, at like Pepperdine.
It's coming.
You know,
it's coming, girl. It's coming. Yeah. In theology. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
I come from a long line, Julie, of preachers. I say all that my family is tobacco farmers and preachers. So my roots are in the dirt and in the church. So when I saw that you were willing to come on and talk about this, I'm telling you, God has such amazing, your reach, your testimony, your transformation, your book. Y'all go get it because it is absolutely fantastic. But First God by Julie Chin Moonves. And I'm telling you, watch her show, God 101 on Instagram. Follow her on Instagram. It's her name, Julie Chin Moonves. It just spelled out. Her audiobook is called But First God, and you can find it everywhere audiobooks are sold. Julie, we love you.
Kim,
we have to keep in touch.
Yes.
We have to keep in touch.
And you're going to come on one-on-one on God 101.
Absolutely. Please.
One-on-one, you know, interviews with people. Usually it's a former Big Brother house guest about their faith journey, because I want to hear about how you got to know Christ starting at age seven, you know, well,
at
being
age seven,
from a family of pastors. So that makes sense.
But I mean, there was a moment where my faith became my own. We all have that moment like you did. And I love it because we're all family.
Yes, exactly.
That's how I look at it. Yeah, we're all family.
We are all family. We are all his children.
I'm just your distant Southern cousin once removed. That's it.
Finally.
I'm just your distant Southern cousin.
We met. Yes, you are. Not so distant.
Not so distant anymore. No. I love you, Julie. Thank you for coming on. Have me on 101. I'll be there.
Okay, we will.
Thanks, Julie.
My producer will reach out. Zach, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Bye.
All right, y'all. We love you. Until next time, I'm Kim.
I'm Zach.
This is the Kim Gravel Show. Bye. All right, you have your Riz meter is going down, down, down. Your Riz is on the freaking.
I'm starting to think you don't know that.
You think that I have Riz?
Yes.
Do you have Riz?
You know I do. What are you talking about?
What about Amy? Does Amy have Riz?
Is she there?
No, she's not here.
All
right,
you,
we love you. I love you. I love you, babe.
We? Who are you talking
to? We. You just got recorded on the podcast. We'll talk to you later, babe. I love you.
Don't put that on.
The Kim Gravel Show is produced and edited by Zach Miller at Uncommon Audio. Our associate producer is Kathleen Grant, the brunette exec. Production help from Emily Breeden and Sarah Noto. Our cover art is designed by Sanaz at Mammarian Creative, and Mike Kligerman edits the show.
Talent Booking by Central Talent Booking.
And a special thanks to the team at QVC. Head over to thekimgravelshow.com and sign up for our mailing list. Again, we can't do this without you, so thank you for listening, and we love you.